The first was an Article 1616 motion to increase bail from Harris County. We've also had a few original habeas applications filed under authority of Article 1125 for admission to bail of TDC prisoners who have disease or comorbidities or conditions that would make them more susceptible to the virus. Also, we've had two original habeas actions, at least two, challenging the governor's order prohibiting certain defendant releases on personal bond. The Article 1616 case, this is an old part of the Code of Criminal Procedure. It's been around since the 19th century, but there's only about, I don't know, five or six cases on it, and most of them are about 100 years old, if not older. So this is unusual. Upon showing by affidavit to the judge, a judge of the Court of Criminal Appeals, an appellate court, or a district court or county court, upon a showing that bail's insufficient or the sureties aren't good for the amount, the judge shall issue an arrest warrant and require sufficient bond. What happened in Harris County in the Singleton case, this gentleman was given a $500 bond. He was a repeat, if not a habitual violent offender. And so the district attorney wasn't happy with that. Came straight to the Court of Criminal Appeals asking for an arrest warrant and higher bond. But the court pointed to this statute and said, you know, exhaust your remedies elsewhere, since it appears that lots of other courts have concurrent authority. They went to this Court of Appeals, got nothing from them, and it turns out that Mr. Singleton was wanted on a new case, on a new felony case, and they came back to the Court of Criminal Appeals, and the court issued an arrest warrant and set bail at $100,000. As of this morning, there's a reconsideration pending. I don't know what happened in the hand down, if that were some of these other cases have been decided or not. Our next case is what we call a compassionate release case under Article 1125 of the Code of Criminal Procedure, which says the judge or court's authorized to grant habeas corpus when they are satisfied that a person's afflicted with disease that renders removal necessary. So this is like a house release, a release to a bail for the pendency of the emergency order or the crisis. There are three of these cases pending. Here are their cause numbers: Patterson, Stem, and Pettis. If you want to look those up, or if you want to get in touch with the lawyers to find out more about what's going on with those. Also, by the way, if we don't make it to the last slide, my email is in this presentation. It's also in the paper. If you need anything from me or have any questions. Also, I'll be hanging around today watching the remainder of this, so I should be available in the chat function or whatever if anybody needs anything. Okay. Finally, you may know that the governor issued an executive order that prohibited personal bond for certain citizens accused. We've had two original habeas cases. Original habeas comes straight to the Court of Criminal Appeals under their constitutional authority. The first was Arroyos. That was denied. Arroyos was actually out on personal bond based on a temporary restraining order from Travis County that's since been vacated. The second was Castillo. He was actually denied personal bond based on the governor's order, but he had filed a habeas corpus application in Travis County and had a right to appeal. So the Court of Criminal Appeals denied that with a written order, basically saying, pursue your appellate remedies. And that's one of the lessons of extraordinary writs in general, outside of our final felony post-conviction writs, is that you have to confront whether you have another remedy at law if you're the applicant. And you have to say, I know that if you're coming to the Court of Criminal Appeals as a matter of first instance, it's something for you to do in your pleadings to confront the fact that you have another remedy, but this is why you need to come to the Court of Criminal Appeals, why that remedy is not adequate. That's in mandamus cases, but it's also historically in the original habeas cases. But that's another talk. Right. Other new things. In your materials is a new habeas paper. In the past, we've had Mike Stauffacher's long-running paper that I updated for a few years. It was time for me to do my own paper, and so it differs a little bit insofar as it doesn't cover all of the specific situations that Mike covered, but it has a more broad treatment of the fundamentals of 1107 law. And so hopefully one of the really strong parts about Mike's paper that I liked was that it was laid out in a way where you could go find your problem immediately. I've tried to make the table of contents detailed enough to where you can find what you need quickly. And though it doesn't have some of the details that the old papers had, it does definitely provide the heart of what we work with at the Court of Criminal Appeals. For instance, there's less time credit talk in this paper, unfortunately, but it does cover things for that prosecutors see a lot, street time, Canada time, pre-sentence jail time credits, that's still in there. Please get in touch with me if you have constructive criticisms or even praise. I like that too. There's a new rule of appellate procedure that you all need to know about that may have flown under the radar just because of the way these things works. The court has clarified that the Texas rules of evidence do apply to a hearing on a post-conviction writ under either Article 1107 or 1107.1. 1107.1, as you probably know, covers death penalty cases, death penalty writs. Article 1107 is for the remainder of the felonies, the final felony writs. So that's been sort of a long-running bone of contention in habeas hearings. I think a lot of people agreed that the rules of evidence pretty clearly suggested that they did apply, but now we know that they do apply at the hearings. But don't forget the comment. There's a comment to the rule, and it says that the rules of evidence aren't an issue. They don't limit what the applicants can attach to their writ applications. So an applicant can still attach whatever they want, and it's not going to be a profitable use of your time if you're a prosecutor trying to strike that stuff by saying that it's inadmissible in court or whatever. If that's an issue, you can always raise it, and the court, you know, considers things based on their weight.